Welcome to Try and Keep Up the Podcast. This is JT, and I appreciate y'all keeping up with me once again. Now, today we're going to talk to Mac Adams. I had a conversation with him back in Virginia at an XDA Racing Series event. And Mac is he's a character, and he'll be the first to agree with it, but he's very passionate. He's a good man. He's an outstanding racer. Today's session is brought to you by SnitchRacing.com. They support me. They let me get to the races so we can have great conversations like this, plus many more to come. So SnitchRacing.com, they have your parts, your performance need, and their customer service is top shelf. You won't find a better company to handle whatever it is you need to get done on that motorcycle. SnitchRacing.com, they support me. They support this session, made it possible. But let's go talk to Mac Adams. All right, once again, I'm keeping up. And this is somebody I've been wanting to talk to a while. Mac Adams, and he's one of the more colorful characters in drag racing, so, and I wanted to make sure he smiled, which y'all can't see, but that's what he's doing now. So thanks for sitting down with me, Mac. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, no problem. So, thanks for having me.
Now, is the Mac Adams, is that short for anything?
Well, last name's Mick Adams. Mac is a nickname. Okay. My real name is William. I'm named after my grandfather, who's a colonel in the Air Force.
Oh, wow.
And he's always called Mac, so my dad knew he was going to call me Mac. I gave him grief forever. Why don't you just name me Mac? Because all through school, it's Will, Billy, Bill, and where did you get Mac from? So, just the nickname, that's really all I go by.
Okay. Now, obviously, we had a pretty lengthy conversation the other day, and unfortunately, folks, that most of that stays between me and him, so you're crap out of luck. But with that being said, for what we want to make public, let's go back. When did you start racing?
1996. Started literally at the time I was had multiple jobs, but I was working at BWI Airport, loading and unloading mail trucks, and really didn't know anything about drag racing. My dad, come to find out, drag raced a car for a few years back when he was early 20s, and a co-worker said, "Hey, you want to go to Capitol Raceway?" So what the hell is that? And you know, one thing led to another. I'm at the racetrack and kind of looking around, and I had a street bike at the time. It wasn't anything special, the KZ750. I always wanted it to be a 1000, but it wasn't. Ended up at the racetrack, got the bug, got hooked, and kind of moved on from there.
And it's funny you say Capital, because that is, I mean, he is passionate for that track. So yeah. You Capital fans that are listening, your number one fan is sitting here. I mean, you were boasting on that track big time when we were talking the other day.
Yeah, you know, that's where I cut my teeth. Jim Cunningham owned it for years, and, you know, it was, we were there every Friday and Saturday night. It was cool. Unfortunately, right now, it's been shut down for a year, so I don't know, it's kind of held in limbo, and I haven't been there probably since Tony Toll put the Pro Stock bike deal on, I want to say 2016. Okay. And he ran 460 there. So the last time I was there.
Okay. Now, you made a comment that your father did some racing. Anybody else before that?
No.
Brothers, sisters, anything?
No, I got two sisters. I'm pretty much a lone soldier. My dad was surprised when I got into it. He helped me early on. I think it's one of those adages, you know, when you're racing with direct family like that, and you know, he didn't come racing with me with bikes too long. Always been a fan of it. And my advanced, I guess, career, if you want to call it that, you know, 15, 20 years in, he would come and hang out. But he didn't drive me to the sport. Okay. Just by chance.
It just worked out that way.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Now, you've raced in several different series since then. So let's share some of those series.
Multiple classes, man. You know, whether it be from street bike to outlaw pro street. Rode a pro street bike, pro mod bike, now 460. I love bracket racing, my personal opinion. I think it's one of the hardest forms of racing, you know, whether it be a pro AT or top sportsman. You know, be able to predict what your bike's doing and be repetitive and go 8, 9, 10 rounds against the likes of who we have here, who we've had in the past. It says something, you know, it really does. I do enjoy my cars. I've been pro mod car racing, I've been outlaw funny car racing. That's awesome.
Do well in that too.
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate. You know, I was definitely fortunate. I only did the pro mod car for 5 years. I went to 4 finals. I won one. Met a lot of really super cool people and gained a lot of knowledge and experience that really transcended over into the bike stuff, just how to tune, you know. So I'm fortunate to be able to do that. And I'm not done with it yet. You never know.
Now, your bikes are very unique. And obviously, Boss Hog, Daisy Duke. I mean, paint jobs are fantastic. They always, they're always just gorgeous machines. So, I mean, he keeps them clean like nobody else.
Sir.
So, I mean, we were teasing Farmer about his trailer being clean.
Yeah.
Mac's bikes are like that as soon as I learn how to speak. When did you go that direction? Is it just a Dukes of Hazzard type thing, or when did you decide to go that way?
Much like anybody else that's unfortunately in their mid-40s, I'm older. I'm 45. I grew up on, the car shows back in the day. And Dukes of Hazzard as a kid was one of my favorite shows. And, my dad, when I started this theme in 2004, my dad actually chuckled and kind of, I guess, reflected to say how annoying and cheesy the show was, and he'd have to power through it because that's what I wanted to watch. And, it all started, I owned a few auto body shops for 20 years, and I had a friend of mine at the time that had an Acura NSX, and it was a three-stage pearl orange. Okay. And when he purchased it, not that this matters, he had some turbos on it, so on and so forth, so he had hit a small dog and brought it to my shop. It was the first time I saw it. And the second I saw the orange color, and I don't know what I'm thinking that color, but orangey is my favorite color. And then it just all kind of clicked. I was just, thinking in my mind, what can I do with this? And, for me, I think that's one of the cool things about the Grudge class and that Grudge scene is all the themes that people come up with, whether it be Now and Later, you've got Cranky, all the stuff that they come up with is super cool. And people identify with that. And that's really where it generally started. Then it spawned off into the Knight Rider bike that Doug Witt rode for me. And I was really close to, if I continued on with Outlaw Pro Street, I was going to do a Chips thing.
Okay.
I have two bikes that like Chips. That's really where it started. I've kind of gone crazy with it.
Now, I know Chuck did some paint work for you. Is he still doing paint work, or do you have somebody else doing it now?
He is not. I built a relationship with Ryan Young at Indossel.
Okay.
I know he does pretty much anybody in the professional ranks, whether it be IndyCar to NHRA. Dunnigan is really tight with him, and his helmets, no two helmets look alike. So I sent him out a helmet last year, and he just smashed the helmet out of the park. And I said, man, you got to start painting bikes. And he fought me. He did not want to do it. It was red butters and helmets. And I said, look, I'm going to give you a second sense of body work. You do it at your time frame. And then we came up with this new theme of Smoking the Bandit. He's headed out of the park. He's really a talented, down-to-earth, one of the rare guys in this business of artwork and custom artwork that has a storefront, does what he says he's going to do.
Oh, wow.
And for that makes him an excellent businessman over and above his skill set.
Now, in reference to that, it's because I did paint work from 13 till 29. So,
okay.
And we're not going to say all of them, because clearly not all of them are like that, because we have an example here. But painters do have a tendency to get things done when they feel like it.
Exactly.
So, and I understand that, being holding the paint gun myself for many years before I moved off into the cable industry and eventually somehow got here through this. I've heard all kinds of horror stories about you'll get it when I'm done with it type thing.
Pretty much.
So, for him to have that attitude towards his product says a lot.
Yeah, it's excellent. I mean, like I said, he has a storefront, he's got a well-oiled machine, and just his ideas that he comes up with, imagination is a huge part. And so, you have some painters that really are skilled in the artistry of paint, but the imagination isn't there. And, I have these ideas, whether it be I'll have Cooter on the bike, Daisy, Uncle Jesse, now Boss Hog. I give you the idea and the setting, and you got to trust them to run with it. And, when I picked up both bikes here last month on my way home from Georgia race, Ryan said, man, I got a really good idea for a new helmet. That's all he had to say, and he kind of spitballed it, so he's already got a new helmet for me. So we'll start laying that out. And I'm excited to see. It's really cool, the stuff they come up with. And I'm very meticulous with my things. I don't think they're the greatest, but I certainly make them as best as they can be,
How often do you, do you like just hang on to the design for a while and then you just kind of, okay, I want to change it?
Yeah, I get in moods to where it's like, hey, I don't really have too much going on this off season. Let's go ahead and just swap paint jobs up. And that's one thing I think people have seen with me is I don't sell my body work because they are pieces of art. I've got quite a bit of time doing the body work. I do the body work and the finish work on the body work. So when I do go to change up, I buy another body, I'll hang them up, and ironically, it's, Uncle Jesse was hung up for a few years. I bought my first 460 bike, resurrected that, and, I hung Daisy up last year when I sold my bike to buddy Corey Reed, and I've since then bought another protostock chassis that I'm going to convert, make the Model Hayabusa, probably resurrect Daisy and the Oakley body right back.
Now, on Drag Bike, we've definitely got quite a few pictures of all that artwork, so, and I'll make sure that I put the link into the comments so that we can go see it.
Yes.
And because it's just fantastic. Now, Bandit is the new one. I posted a picture of it just the other day, so it's on Drag Bike.
Yes, sir.
That would have been kind of a pain in the neck for you, though.
Yeah, you know, it's bad enough to just decide, and, you know, in the middle of the season last year to go, something I've been doing for close to 25 years with the Suzuki GS platform. Hey, I'm not old, but I'm not young. I got to move with the times. And, you know, I didn't go with the fuel injection, which I got a lot of scrutiny. Why didn't I? And it's, you know, for me to have a brand new build and also resurrect and change over what last three years were Cooter with a GS platform, to switch it over to a Gen 2 Hayabusa, I stayed with carburetors, the downdrafts, and it's really been my friend with the 460 bike. It's not so much with Bandit. I've been joking with anybody willing to listen. I've been taking Bandit on a countrywide tour since the beginning of this year, almost to show it off, because all it's doing is burnouts. It's not even doing them good. So this, you know, as we sit here in Virginia on Sunday, I've kind of reached my pinnacle. So I'm going to swap it over to fuel injection and start the figuring it out crunch.
Okay. You think you have it ready by the next XDA race?
No. I highly doubt it. I unfortunately haven't really done my due diligence on figuring out who I want to do it,
okay,
who's going to be the best fit for technical support for me. So, you know, unfortunately, I haven't bracket raced, and this is, you know, going on the second year. Hey, it sucks. I cheer on my team, you know, my teammates and friends up here, and I don't want to be bracket racing, you know. So now I don't know when it'll get done. With any kind of luck, maybe by the end of the year, I can play.
Now, obviously, it's Sunday, XDA, and this is a massive field you're in. Oh, my God, this thing's a beast today.
You're right. You're 1,000% right. We actually kind of talked about it, and I'm sure everybody was kind of wondering what the pump would be, and I had numerous phone conversations with Jason on, you know, what he was asking my opinion. I'm a nobody, but I think it's great what he's doing. To, you know, some people have a difference in opinion, and, you know, as far as the additional bikes that are able to run. And I'm a businessman first, and I understand his mindset that, you know, to allow these extra bikes to get in to increase the field, to keep people's opportunity, to keep them coming back. And that's all I want. So when you get 55 bikes, 57 bikes, whatever it ended up being, and to have this field have, you correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I'm big on, I don't look at the ladders. I don't want anything to get in my head. I don't want to find out who has me, because, you know, until first round.
Yeah.
But I think it's 20 dead on with some change. I mean, yeah. I went a 61 with a 3, and I'm number 25. So, you know, last night to go out here, you know, last qualifier, so, you know, I'm not even going to take it, because I'm just going to share the dead on with, you know, and I'm not being facetious. I don't know that I could have made you run that. Unfortunately, I've done a stack of them with this brand new combo. But, man, they were dropping them like nothing.
No, it's, yeah, it's insane.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's good, though.
Yeah, it really is, and I'll even put myself on blast. I want to say it was 2014 when I was just about, it might have been 13, I was just about done with ProMod bike, and I had purchased my ProMod car, and I remember Jason and Marion walking up to me in the staging lanes, one of the last races I had, my personal ProMod bike, and asking me would I be interested in slowing it up to run 460, and I laughed. I'm like, hey, I'm taking a bike that runs, it's been 412, and doing that, and, you know, fast forward 7 years later, good God, it's the coolest, most healthiest class, full of a lot of badass racers and cool people.
Yeah. Now, at the beginning of this, I made a comment about being an intense personality. Now, we won't get into any details, and God knows you've headbutted with quite a few people in the years I've known you.
You're right.
But with that, I don't know what you want to call it, that halo around you that everybody's put on you for that particular, that intensity.
Yes.
What would be someone's misconception about that?
I don't know. That, you know, if I had to say misconception, obviously arrogance. I think anybody in this sport should have a sense of arrogance. It's on what level, you know, you carry yourself and how you do. And I like to think I can talk to anybody and hang out with anybody. If I'm going to say I have a character flaw, I can't keep my mouth shut if I feel somebody slights me. You know, but I'm also the same guy that when people are good to me and, you know, do great things, whether it be in the sport or just in life, I'm the guy that's going to give you a million props, you know. I'm just existing like anybody else, and if somebody has anything to say, unfortunately, that high road doesn't exist to me. I wish it did so many times, because I'm like, why did I? It's just not worth it. I follow that up with, a lot of my friends tell me, you know, straight shooters are easier to get along with because you know where you stand.
Yeah, true.
A lot of people say that until they're on the other end of that straight shot. So, and I'm okay with myself that, you know, people lay it out for me and don't like me, well, it's fine. We don't have to like each other, you know, so that's what I would say about that. Colorful, I appreciate the polite way of saying it. Got a mouth. I don't know.
Now, obviously, you're. Let's give a shout out to your crew because you've always got out there. You've got the, you got your corner tournaments that you do,
yes.
So you always have a good time over there.
Absolutely.
And we have to make sure we give a shout out to your daughter and your other half.
Yes, yes. My daughter has been 6 days out of the hospital when she was born. First place she went was to an all bike race at Capital Raceway, and fortunately, I was lucky enough to win the race. So at 6 days old, she's holding $1,500, and that still rings true for me because, you know, she tried to get into racing herself. She wanted to do a junior dragster, wasn't her thing at 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's not here, she hates it, she misses it. She's obviously my biggest fan. And then, you know, my fiance Tara just loves this whole atmosphere. She's a big camper,
mm-hmm.
and this is camping on asphalt with a touch of some competition, and you sprinkle that with crazy, which I like to think my whole crew and team are, with the Shiflets, the Browns, the Gleasons, and, you know, we have a tight-knit family. We do like to enjoy ourselves here, and, you know, we play cornhole, and Jason was, you know, cool enough to allow us to start doing these tournaments to be a part of the XDA, you know, show or brand, however you want to say it,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's flattering and awesome for him to do that, and, you know, and him and Chris and everybody that's involved with the XDA to really take this thing and have it jump off in such a short period of time and continue to grow. I'm just lucky enough it's my home series. You know, I don't have to drive super far with it, but my team's great. I couldn't do it without
them. When did that group relationship, when did your team form? When did you meet a lot of them? How long you know them?
It goes all the way back. Me and Shiflet have kind of always been buddies. We really started hanging out, and the reason I remember this, probably not going to like that, I kind of never mind this, I'm putting it on this, 2002. And I know it was 2002 that he and I got super tight because there was a toolbox race at My Rock Race at the time. And back then, they did toolbox races. They gave away trailers.
Oh, wow.
So this is a Mack toolbox, and they wanted an 8-bike field, and I really wasn't interested in getting in it. Fabian, actually at the time, I think it was Jack Capello, was calling me out by name. I can't believe you're not getting in this. Well, I ended up getting in this 8-person shootout with this toolbox. And my now best friend, Jimmy Shiflet, had two of his bikes in there. Well, unlucky for Jimmy, I beat him on both his bikes. And in the final, I had a perfect light and was dead on one. And I joked with him, told him I'd sell it to him, and we weren't super tight up, you know, until that day. And then I carried the toolbox around for 5 years in my trailer just to remind him. And actually, it had been out of my trailer for, I'm going to go maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And last year, I bolted the top to my pit card and just said, hey, you remember this toolbox? And he just shakes his head. So that's when we got tight, about the same time with Boo, Boo Brown. We all just kind of gel. We all have the same sarcastic sense of humor. And I think laughing is the best part of life. And you should be able to laugh at yourself. And we damn sure laugh at a lot of other people. So, as I'm sure they do us.
Yeah. All right. Now, we know he's got some racing to do. And we're going to let him get back over there with his crew and get ready to get going. So, obviously, the season's early. So, we're definitely going to talk to you again as it unfolds. Because there's some crazy racing going on today. So, that's going to make for a good conversation next time.
Yes, it absolutely is. 460 is great. Thanks to everybody that has these 460 races, not just XDA. And all the people at back, Vance and Hines, Eddie Craywick, Andrew, all those guys out there, man, they do an awesome job to get back to the class. And Dave, it's racing is great. You know, it just all the people that support a class like yourself are a class series that gives back and puts all their effort into it. Thanks to all of them. Thank you, JT, though.
All right. Thank you for sitting down with me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all keeping up. Mac Adams. Look down the links. I'll make sure you can get around and see his stuff.
Cool. Thanks, JT.
All right. Catch y'all next time.
Hope y'all enjoyed that conversation with Mac Adams. His motorcycles are just unbelievable. If you haven't been to the races and seen them yet, go see them. The paint jobs on these machines are just unbelievable. He's a high-end performance racer. He's one of the top shell racers, and even the best know that they're going to have to get through him, which is no easy feat. So Mac Adams, he's a good friend, good person, honored to know him. Congratulations on his recent wedding, Tara, Miss Mac Adams. I know they had a great time. They were sharing some pictures and stuff with everybody online, so I wish them a happy life together. This is JT. I'm out of here, but I shall return. Thank you so much for keeping up, and we'll be back. JTNorton.com, SnitzRacing.com. We're here to support you.